All right. Let's get everybody in here and get my screens pulled up. This is the Queen's Club call, which means we are going to be coaching our queens. So y'all go ahead and raise your hand if you want to get coached. Pull up the chat. Sierra, you're first. I just ate the quickest lunch. The other call just ended. And I went ahead and ate lunch. So I was hungry. I did not want to be distracted. All right, Sierra, let's get you all connected. Let's see. It looks like it's still trying to connect your audio. There we go. Well, let's start video. It may be having a, there we go. All right, your video is on, but it's having a hard time connecting your audio. Can you say something? Huh. I'll tell you what. Let me call the other person, work on the audio part, and then I'll call on you next, okay? You may have to tell her. I don't know if she can hear me, Lizzie. I'm going to put her back. Let her know that we're going to, like, all she'll have to do is re-raise her hand. It looked like her audio was having trouble. Congratulations, April. As of yesterday, down 25.6 pounds. There you go. Lizzie, just let her know in the chat. All right. Eleni?
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm
What you need
under
help with?
construction here, so everything's a mess.
Yeah, I feel that. We've been under construction for 2 years.
It never ends. Okay,
No.
so here's my quick question. I went and saw a plastic surgeon last week, and I've been, slowly losing weight over the last couple of years. I'm down 50 pounds. And I've been at a stall for 2 or 3 months, and I'm having abdominal surgery, mostly a tummy tuck, but also I have splits in my muscle from when I had my pregnancy. So they're going to repair the muscles. And so we scheduled it for January because she said, if you still have more weight you want to lose, you should be at that weight and maintain it for 3 months before you do this. And
Okay.
so now my thoughts are all whacked out because I suddenly feel pressure and I just need thought adjustments about
Why are
this.
you having pressure?
Because it's like, if you want to lose that weight, if you want to lose the last 15 pounds before you do this, you need to do it and maintain it for 3 months. And now I have a January surgery date. And so that,
But that's like 6 or 7 months from now.
yeah. And so that's why I feel pressure. It's like, oh my God, I've got to lose the weight and I got to maintain it. And I haven't put any pressure
But
on
weren't you
myself.
going to do that all along?
Not necessarily. I mean,
Oh, okay. So do you not want to lose the 15
I
pounds? You
want
don't
to
have
lose
to.
it, but
Huh?
I want to lose it. I want to
Okay.
continue losing,
Yeah.
but there was never a time limit. So now all of a
Right. I
sudden,
don't understand why the time limit makes a difference if you were always wanting to lose it.
because now I have to lose it in a time frame, and I
You
never had a
don't
time
have to,
frame.
though. You keep telling yourself you have to. I'm pretty sure your plastic surgeon will give you that surgery in January, whether you lose that 15 pounds or not.
Correct, as long as I maintain where I'm at. If I go back in there in January and I'm still at this exact same weight, she's going to be fine with that. I'm not going to be fine with it because then I'll think, well, I'm going to have the surgery and then the pressure's off and then I'm going to lose the weight and then I'm going to mess up the surgery
All
because.
right, well, I will just say this. Did you even ask your surgeon if you'll mess the surgery up if for some reason you lose a little bit more weight?
Well, that was her point. If you want to lose more weight.
But did you right? Did you ask
yeah,
her?
Yeah, we discussed it. Yeah, we did. We discussed.
What'd she say?
She said, "Yeah, it could affect the results if you lose the weight afterwards."
Yeah, well, let me give you my opinion as someone who's had multiple surgeries, and I am smaller than I was during my surgeries.
Okay.
15 pounds is not that. Well, the biggest thing is like you're acting like all 15 pounds will come right off your stomach if you lose it. Probably not. It's going to come off everywhere. I will just tell you, it's not going to make that big of a difference. Like, it's not going to ruin things. I think you're saying it's going to ruin all of it.
Yeah.
No, it won't.
Okay.
It won't.
Tell me exactly what she said.
I know she said, if you want to lose more weight, now is the time.
Correct.
Let's get it done before January. And then when you said, well, what if I lose the 15 pounds after January? What did she say?
I didn't word it like that. Yeah, I didn't word
it like that. What did you ask her and what did she say? Because we need to get this factually correct.
Yes.
Because your brain is believing the story you're telling, your brain thinks that's the truth.
Yeah, the biggest story that I'm telling myself is, you have to do this now. Like you have this.
I understand that, but until we know the facts, we can't even combat that story. Because right now you're saying, my brain is saying this because it believes this.
Yeah.
Right. We need to know what the facts are so we can challenge the belief. So what are the facts?
The fact is, she said, if you have additional weight that you want to lose, you should lose it before and have maintained it for 3 months prior to the surgery, because you could undo some of the effects of the surgery if you lose it afterwards. And likewise, if you gain a bunch of weight afterwards.
Yeah.
And all I hear is, you got to lose a weight.
Right, but that's not what she's saying. She's saying you could undo some of the effects, which also means it might not undo any of the effects. She didn't say 100%. If you don't lose this weight by now, you are going to ruin the surgery, which is kind of the way you described it in the beginning. She said it could undo some of the effects, which is what a doctor's supposed to tell you.
Okay.
And I am telling you, as someone who has
had
these surgeries and known so many people that have had them and still continue to lose weight, unless we're talking like 30, 40 pounds, it's a minuscule amount. Now, let me just throw this wrinkle. What if you only lost 10 and then you lost 5 after surgery? How much of an impact do you think that would be?
Probably none.
Yeah, I like how you're not considering any of that. Like rather than be like, I have to lose weight before this time period, it's like, I've got 6 months to lose some weight. And I will tell you, the only reason why they like for you to maintain the weight is because most people who are coming in to do these surgeries are people who go up and down the scale.
Yes.
They really encourage you to be in maintenance so that your habits are in place.
Right. And I want that regardless of having surgery or not having it.
How much weight have you lost?
A little over 50, like 52 pounds.
Okay. And how and long have you been in maintenance? How long have you been kind of stabilized here?
I've probably been at this weight now for like 2 or 3 months.
Okay. So you've already met the goal.
I've met the goal of maintaining a weight for.
Right. Yes. That is all she's really wanting you to do, is to maintain a weight.
Yeah.
She's just saying, if you have more weight to lose, let's go ahead and do that and then maintain.
Yeah. My old thinking is just starting to come forward in other diets and past, you know, it's just those past thoughts just immediately started seeping their way forward for me when I got a time limit. on old diets that, you know, it's like, oh, I'm, you know, my daughter's getting married or we're going on this vacation. And
but this is the thing. Time limits are not a bad thing. You're making it a bad thing. I just want you to see, like, nothing bad has happened. Nothing. But you're interpreting it as it has. It's like, oh my gosh, now I have to lose these 15 pounds. It's like, no, I could not lose the 15 pounds and just get the tummy tuck at this stage. I want to lose 15 pounds and I've got plenty of time to do it.
Okay.
How many months we got? We got all of July, August, September, October, November, December. When in January are you having this?
The 9th.
The 9th. And a week. All right.
Yeah. And I'm going, oh, this is perfect. It's right during summer, all the barbecues, going to Hawaii, and then the holidays are coming.
Because I don't teach you how to lose weight no matter what's going on in life. It's terrible that you're doing a diet that doesn't set you up for this. My brain just started tweaking out. I know. And that's why you have to be listening to it. It's like, oh, wait, I'm actually in a program where we're supposed to have holidays and we're supposed to go on trips and we're supposed, oh my God, I'm in a program called Summer Reset. I'm in a program called Handling the Holidays.
And I'm coming to see you in September. Which means that
I'm freaking out about, I'm actually learning how to do and lose weight.
Yeah, I know. This is helpful. This is why I raised my hand.
Yes, we have to remind ourselves of this stuff. Like, oh, I'm just freaking out. And here's the good news. You've got all of July, all of August, all of September, and pretty much almost all of October. You have 4 months to lose 15 pounds.
Yeah, I can calm down. I'm coming to see you in September. That will be helpful too.
15 pounds. It's 3.75 pounds a month.
Well, and I guess, you know, because I haven't lost any weight in the last, you know, 3 months.
What have you been doing to try? First, have you been actively trying to lose these 15 pounds for 3 months?
I've been vacillating. I try and then I'm not trying. I'm not planning. I'm kind of in a
maintenance mode?
Kind of in a maintenance mode, yes. And just not doing all the things. And I know I'm not doing them. And I want to start.
Why not?
Yeah.
Answer my question.
I have a whole bunch of excuses.
I want to know what they are so we can debunk them. Because so far, every time you've opened your mouth, you've told me nothing but lies and I've debunked them.
Yeah. Well, all this construction's on my nerves and
on your nerves, but last I checked, you can't gain weight from construction dust.
I don't know if you can tell. That's like my dining room with the couches and my clothes and everything from all the bedrooms are out.
What does
there.
That have to do with what you eat for dinner?
Just I'm nervous.
About what?
About everything being in disarray. I'm kind of an organized.
Right, but what is all these things in disarray? What does that have to do with eating? Like, why are you nervous about things being in disarray?
Can't find things.
Okay. I can't find things all the time. That's because I'm 50. So, but why are we nervous? Like I can't find things. Like, I want you to just see. I can't find things. My couch is out there. I should probably go eat.
Yeah. Sounds reasonable.
Right. I want to know why you're nervous. That when you say, like, I'm just nervous when I see my couch out there and I can't find things, I'm nervous because I think what?
I think that I have a lot of things to do and I can't focus on just my daily routine.
Why? Why is the couch being in the other room and not being able to find some things sometimes mean I can't do my daily routine?
Because things are not where they're supposed to be and it bothers me.
Okay. But what is it, because it's bothering you It's just like going to work. I used to work for a real asshole. Like, I had this one boss that was really terrible. And that would be like me going in every day saying, I can't work because he's an asshole.
Yeah, a lot of your analogies help me through. One of my favorite ones that I keep reminding myself is the GPS and going toward a goal. And you set your GPS for the goal. And if you make a wrong turn, you don't say, well, that's it. I'm going home. I made a wrong turn. No, you redirect, you get back on the road, and you're going to make numerous wrong turns along the way. And I just find that so profoundly helpful, because I probably was that person who would make that wrong turn and say, well, it's over, going back to my old
I
bad
think I'm doing it
behavior.
now with this remodel.
I know I'm doing it. That's why I'm talking to you today. I just
So
need a
let me ask you this. What part of your routine can't happen because you can't find things?
You know, it's kind of like having a new routine. I can't, you know, I
Like
can't
what? Give me
vacuum in
something
there,
specific.
can't
I
clean
want
in
a specific.
there. I can't print things on my printer because it's not plugged in, because this is all temporary, because this whole built-in thing is just not finished. And there's just things that are
So what do
just
you need to print right now that would mean you could do your routine?
drop it like it's hot, all the stuff.
Okay, do you have an iPad? Or a phone.
I like hard copies.
Okay, so here
I know that there are
I'm going to give
solutions
you
to it. I'm
some.
just
I know. I'm
saying.
going to give you some tough love.
Okay.
Okay, you can either lose this 15 pounds because you figure out a way to make it happen, or you
Yes.
can sit and you can keep arguing with me about why your life is so bad.
It's not a bad life. It's
Right,
just
but
upside down right
you're
now.
kind of painting the picture of a remodel as if, we're trying to solve world peace.
Yeah.
Because every time I give you a solution or anything, you're just like, but. And it's like, you have a remodel. Mine has been going on for like, I have lit, like, we started this house in October of 2022. We are living in it and the basement is still not finished. At
Yeah.
some point, I had to quit bitching about the remodel and just be like, it's annoying when there's noise. It's annoying to have all of the dust and workers in the house. Like, all of that is very annoying. But that does, like, at some point, I have to decide I have to live a life too.
Yeah. And
And I think you haven't made that decision. I think you've just been like, I'm just going to eat.
I think I was going along with it until I went and had my consultation last week. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, quit, you gotta quit screwing around now. No more, messing around. You gotta get serious about
I
this
have to quit
again.
overeating.
Yeah.
Like
Yes.
now I have to actually just be annoyed and I actually have to come up with solutions. Like, I will tell you what's really easy. To blame construction on why you can't print, drop it like it's hot. Because they don't really do anything. Do you know it's hard to come home and be like, I'm going to have to find another way to print this thing. Or I'm going to have to lose weight, annoyed at construction, and not able to print things.
Yeah, that's
But it's an
helpful.
option.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's helpful. That's why I needed to talk to you to just calm my brain down and not be so freaked out about the time frame.
I know, because it's not the time frame. I just want you to see it's really not the time frame. It's now that I have a time frame, I'm not allowed to sit around and blame construction for why I'm not doing things.
Okay.
That's really all that's happening. I would bet you if this remodeling stuff wasn't going on, you would have had a problem. But because you're allowing yourself to not make plans, take foot off the gas, not do all the things, eat what you want, that kind of thing. It's like, well, that's how I'm getting through the remodel. Yes. And now this doctor wants me to lose 15 pounds. So now I got to give up the way I'm getting through the remodel. Well, this sucks.
Yes, that's all of those. That's what I'm doing. Okay. I need to
come up with a new way to get through the remodel.
Yeah. Yes.
Which Thank is, you. For me, it was just be supremely annoyed and bitch at Chris every night. Like literally there's not a night that doesn't go by where I'm just like, I was on a call today and I swear to God, Chris, they were hammering right outside my office. And I will tell you, we literally just the major construction phase ended down there. And I got it. We've had 2 weeks without workers down there. And then I got a message yesterday about when the construction crew for the stage sets are coming in.
Coming back.
To build all of the stages for all y'all. I can't wait for y'all to see my Zoom room. Like y'all are going to be like, what the fuck's happening? Chris is going to look so professional. It's going to look so good. But I also had to listen to that goddamn noise for like 2 more months to get there. Right. But like, I just complain. I just like, for me, this is what I like to do. I like most of the time I just don't pay attention. And I'm just like, it's a champagne problem. You and I have a champagne problem. We're getting to remodel our house. Like, you know, it's annoying, but at the end of the day, we are actually remodeling our house. So how much can we complain?
It is exciting.
Yes. There's a lot of good that comes out of it. Now, number two is I like the action when I'm annoyed and I'm frustrated to be to bitch and complain, not to stuff my mouth. So I always tell Chris and my best friend, Jane, today's one of those days you're going to hear it from me a lot. Because if I'm not venting, I'm going to want to be eating or drinking. Right. And it's like, I don't know if you're overeating, but it sounds like I want to lose 15 pounds. And I have found a level of eating that maintains this weight. But it's not the weight I want to be. So I need to be doing the things that are going to get this weight off, which means I'm probably going to be even more annoyed at my situation, because right now, one of the ways I've probably been coping, because if I haven't been going after my 15 pound goal before this, it's because I've not made it more important than the construction.
There's another little tiny caveat, and that is I'm in my low 140s. I'm between 141 and 144.
Okay.
And so when I get really close to crossing that, I haven't been in my 130s in 20 years. And I'm freaking out about that too.
Why does it matter?
I don't know. It's like, oh my God,
what we need to figure out. Why is your brain freaking out about it? Because
when like I can't
think about it logically, it really makes no sense. I mean,
I haven't been there in 20 years. You can't really do that. You can't really get into your 130s.
Why?
That's what my old shitty brain tells me.
Right. But I know what your old shitty brain is telling me, but the reason why I'm asking you why is because if you can't tell me a good reason, that's what you have to tell your old shitty brain when it says it's like, hey, there really is no good reason for this thought. It's just something that comes up.
Yeah. I get close to it and then I sabotage myself.
Right. Only because you think that that's a ridiculous dream. Like, it's been so long. Like, the only reason why you're sabotaging yourself is because anything that you keep allowing yourself to just believe without any questioning or pulling at threads and stuff, your brain is like, oh, wait a minute, we're getting close to that 140 mark. We're not supposed to go below it. So let me do this over here because this is what she thinks is supposed to be happening. Your brain's just working with you. Your brain is like, oh, you want to believe this? Well, let me do these things over here to help you with that. Like our brain is so accommodating. It's like, well, I mean, you know, Alani, you keep telling me that it's been so many years and that's just really someone of our age doesn't do.
Right.
So I will drum up some urges for you. And it's like waiting for you to pet it on its head. Like, good job, brain.
Yeah.
So
I
we,
mean,
that's
one
what we
thing
got
I
to
had.
ask ourselves. Why? Like, I want you to just use your reasoning brain. Like, if you had to logically think about this, why can't you get below 140? Is there any logical reason? Don't give me the bullshit. Just what is the logical reason why you couldn't get below 140?
There's no reason. There is absolutely no reason. I was never, I always lived in my, like, between anywhere from 122 to 132 in my youth. That my young adult life, that's where I always was. So there's no reason. I just haven't been there for so long, and I have really bad diet, trauma from yo-yo dieting for a lot of years. And I've learned not to catastrophize a small gain. That's this your program has helped me tremendously with that. I didn't set a weight loss goal this time. I mean, I know how much I want to weigh, but my goal was no more yo-yo dieting. Just get to this place and then, keep doing what you're doing, not going on a diet, then going off a diet. No, this way of lose weight the way you want to live your life. Yes, that's what I want.
Yeah.
And so I just have this last little chunk and I'm stopping myself, and I
Yeah, and that's good
there's
for you to
no
break
good
that up.
reason for it.
And that's what we want to tell our brain is that when it's just like, you know what? I really do think I can get below 140. There's really no good reason why I can't. Sometimes I'm scared, but I understand why I haven't been able to do it yet. It's because I've been telling myself it's impossible. Like you've basically been kind of telling yourself the illogical story of it's impossible.
Yeah.
And it's like when we really think about it, it's like it's not that it's impossible. Now, you may get back to the weight of your youth and not like the way it looks on you. You might find that as you try to get back to the way you were when you were younger, that it's like, you know, I don't know that I like this maintenance, or I don't like what it takes to stay here. And that will be good information.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you can't get there. And you may even get halfway there and be like, you know what? This weight looks really good on me at this age. So I just want you to see there's a lot of options. Right
Yeah.
now, you're giving yourself, I either have to weigh that or I can't get there because of this. And it's like, well, and this could happen,
Yes,
and this could
that's it.
happen, and this could happen.
Yeah, I'm doing that. That's exactly what I've been doing between
Because
those
I
two
will
things.
say for all of you, the reason why I was wanting to ask you about, like, is there a logical reason? Is because for some of us, we have a goal weight from our youth that is not logical for our age.
I don't expect to be in the 122 range. I think 135 will be just lovely.
Okay.
So I'm just, again, like 12 pounds away from that, and
Yeah.
I know I can get there. I just needed a little adjustment, and you've been
And you
very
don't even have 15 to lose. You only have 12.
12.
So now it's like 3.5 pounds a month.
I can do that.
I know it's less than 1 pound a week. I mean, that's just some moderate, minuscule fucking changes while you allow yourself to either be annoyed or to tell yourself, look, when I'm getting freaked out about all this, is it worth being freaked out over? And that was kind of one of the other things that gave me a lot of peace is there were certain periods of our construction, it was worth being freaked out over because my work day was continually getting very interrupted. I was getting behind, and you can ask my team, I live and breathe, ask any of them. There's one person on the team everybody can always count on to beat their deadlines. Like I am the Tom Brady of deadlines, the goat. And when I started missing a few, I was like, oh, hell no. Like, now we're annoyed. Now we're going to have to do some things because Corinne doesn't miss deadlines. And then there were other times where it was an inconvenience. It was annoying. But it wasn't like I would tell myself, girl, this is not that bad. Like, go to a room and close yourself up. Just do something. So yeah. It's just a lot of, like, for you, it's just like, I'm going to need to up my game on not making this remodel, like, so bad. And I'm also going to need to up my game over here on what I'm willing to do to lose the 12 pounds.
And get because I'm not going to be,
because I'm not going to be eating, like, but over this. And over here, I'm going to be reminding myself every single day, there's no reason, no logical reason why I can't lose the weight in the time frame that's been set out. And you're already good at maintaining. So, like, for you, like, the main, I just want to say this one more time for the surgery. Probably the main reason, if you just asked your doctor, and you can always ask again and just say, like, hey, I've been kind of freaking out. I talked to my weight loss coach. She has had, you can tell her, I've had 6 different plastic surgeries to fix all my loose skin and stuff. So I'm very well versed in the world of the plastic surgery. And she said that one of the main reasons you want people to maintain is just so that they can get into the habit. And that when they're ready for surgery, they're already in the good habits. They are maintaining. They know how to keep their weight stable. Because, you know, when you have surgery, you're not going to be exercising. A lot of people who lose weight are doing it through the exercise way. And so a lot of plastic surgeons, you know, they need you to be maintaining your weight because they know the exercise is coming out. So if you've been out running a bad diet and now you're going to be laid up on your ass for 8 weeks and you can't really exercise, you know, now you're just with food.
Right.
So that's one reason. It slows down the healing too when you eat like shit. Like, if you can just prepare to eat very healthy when you have your surgery, not because it will make you gain weight. Eat very healthy because it will make all the difference in the world in how you heal. All of it. Have you had very many surgeries in the past?
Well, I had 2 C-sections. So okay. I'm prepared for this abdominal.
Yeah.
Surgery.
I never had a C-section, but I will say my tummy tuck was the easiest of all the ones I got done.
Okay.
Well, second easiest. My boobs were the first easiest when I just had my implants replaced. I took my implants down. When I had to have my lift and my boobs done, I think that was even harder than my tummy tuck. But when I had my full, and I had a full tummy tuck, they cut me from here to here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had the big one. And that was my second tummy tuck. I did the minor first, but I had so much loose skin up here. It just looked weird. So I went back and had the zipper. But I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the pain or the recovery. I'm okay with that. I'm not worried about that.
Just eat healthy so that you poop well. Because the one thing, like, you'll probably remember this from C-section time, is the last thing you want is to be constipated when you have had a tummy tuck. That happened to me. That was the worst part.
Okay.
Like, when my mother was giving me an enema in the bed and we were and literally I was like, pray with me. I mean, I was already starting to pass out and they were going to have to take me to the emergency room. If I didn't go to the bathroom, it was an ambulance ride to the emergency room. Like, we were at the sweats and the fever stage. She's given me an enema because my husband can't. Well, he actually did one about 2 years ago, but she's given it to me. And I'm like, pray with me. And she just is sitting there and I could tell she was praying. And I went out loud. She's like saying Hail Marys, and the next thing I know, 3 minutes in, I'm like, I gotta go. The best I took a shit like y'all wouldn't believe, took a shower and felt like a new woman. So
good advice.
Yes, you take that Miralax and that Colace, like, before they put you under.
Yeah,
take some and then stay on a routine until you're off them drugs.
Okay.
You will thank me for it.
Thank you. All right.
You can do this. I know you can.
Okay. I thank you very much. I needed the boost. Tuna.
And feel free to come back, like if it, like in a month, come to the next Queens Club call. Not many of y'all raise your hand, so raise your hand. I'm happy, like every month we can check in and see how it's going. And you can next month though, come back with, here's what I'm doing, and it's either working, or here's what I'm doing, and here are the overeats I'm having.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a deal.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Corinne.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Sierra, let's try again. Tell you what, that one enema was one for the books. And then Chris had to give me one 2 years ago. It was right before we moved into this house. And I don't remember why I got so constipated. We had been traveling. And I was like, you're going to have to give me an enema. Well, there's a baby. Oh, Lord. It's like a little kid listening to me. So we're still trying to connect audio. Maybe she can't hear me. He gave me one. And oh, my God, y'all. I love that man. And I don't get embarrassed that easy, but I've never been so embarrassed in my life. I was just like, oh, Chris, I'm so sorry. I was like, this is what it's turning into. Well, Sierra, it looks like we're still, I don't know what is going on with your audio. Every time we switch to panelists, it kicks me out of the audio. And well, that's sad. See if you can come back on a different device, maybe. I'm not sure what's happening. Andrea? Or type in the Q&A, Sierra, if you have a question. Maybe I can just talk it through before we get off the call. All right, Andrea. Oops, here we are. Hello, what you all coaching on?
Hi.
Hi.
Wow, excited to be here with you, Corinne. It's been a long while.
Yeah.
So basically, what I wanted to some help on is I've been an OBS woman for 4 years now. It's pretty much been my anniversary not too long ago. I lost about 85, and then I gained in the last year about 20 or so. Today's sort of my first day. I've been listening to the replays for the summer restarts, and I have my plan right here, and I'm sort of back on track today. But okay. The biggest hurdle I've been facing this year is that both of my daughters, after I separated about 4 years ago, have become estranged. And okay. I've been dealing with a lot of that. So what I realized about a week ago, I am getting some counseling on that, and it's been really, really the most difficult thing for me recently is that I realized I have this idea in my head that I cannot be happy without my daughters. And so I realized it basically means that I have to suffer until they come back, and I cannot afford that anymore. It's been really tough, and I just have to move on somehow, knowing that I have to give them their space. There's nothing else I can do in terms of reaching out to them at this point. But it's really, I've been eating over it, emotional eating, obviously, just because it's probably the most difficult thing I'm going through in my life right now. So I don't know if we could work on that statement that I have in my head that I cannot be a happy mother without my daughters. And I'm just eating over it. Thank you for that.
Why can't everyone. You be happy? So why can't you be happy? What would it mean if you decided I'm going to be happy?
Yes.
While I continue to reach out to my daughters and stuff, what would that
right.
mean?
I feel like, you know, like I had this goal in my whole life to be this amazing mom. And I thought I was until this happened. Why can't I be happy? I just feel like it's my biggest job in my life. And I guess I am dealing with feeling like, no, I wasn't the amazing mom I was hoping to be because of.
How do you know you weren't an amazing mom?
Because they left me, they abandoned me. I feel like that.
But how does that mean? Why does, so let me just say this. Let me tell you a small story and let me see if it helps. No, I think my mother's amazing. I mean, she literally gave up so much for me and my brother. But there was a year, an entire year, we did not speak. We were estranged. And I ended the relationship. And I didn't think I was actually going to ever speak to her again.
Wow.
And this was, gosh, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years ago.
Right.
I remember Logan was, he was in elementary school. So it's probably about 10 or 12 years ago. It didn't mean my mother wasn't amazing. It meant that something happened between us and we were in very different opinions about things.
Right.
And we needed space.
Yeah.
Like when I look back on it, and this is now, this is coming from a daughter. Okay.
Right.
I think it would have been really easy for my mom to feel like she was a terrible mother. And if, I guess if Logan didn't want to speak to me, it would be easy for me to want to first go to blaming me, because our brain always wants to make sense out of something that seems like it shouldn't happen. Right. Like if something like this happens, your brain's immediate desire is, I got to know why. I got to know why.
Yes, absolutely.
And it will
That's
make
what
up.
I did.
Yeah. So it's going to make up a reason. And right now the reason is you're a bad mom.
Yeah.
I guess, because you're saying, I can't be happy. Like, are you making it mean you, no, you're making it mean I wasn't an amazing mom.
Right. I am making it mean that, which is not necessarily the case, right?
Have they told you why they don't want to talk to you anymore?
No, they're not willing to tell me anything. The one thing I did find reasons to believe that they're protecting their father. They obviously sided with their father. And they're probably both going to move to live with him in the near future. And one, I did have a bad relationship with about, 7 years ago. But the second one, everything seemed okay. And then all of a sudden, over a few months, she also, became estranged. And I kept asking why. I just want to know why. And they're not willing to tell me. So
you do have a reason. So one thing that you could try on is, rather than thinking I'm not an amazing mother,
right,
is they have decided to side with their dad.
Right.
Which doesn't, like, you could be amazing and he could be, and I'm just saying, like, there's all kinds of things, but he could be promising them the moon. He could be, like, there could be all kinds of things happening for them to side with him that have nothing to do with whether or not you've been a good mom.
Yeah.
And how old are your girls?
23 and almost 21. And I just have to tell you, about 2 weeks ago, I went to one of my daughter's graduation, my eldest, and I kept my distance. I know she saw me and she was angry that I was there. That was really hard.
She gets to be angry that you were there, but you know what an amazing mother does? Puts herself in harm's way, because one day when this relationship repairs, she's probably going to be glad you saw it.
That's what I'm hoping. Yes, exactly.
Well, and I would rather you like, you get to decide right now what story you want to live in, because whether or not you tell the story of, they're never coming back, I'm just pissing them off, I'm not an amazing mom, that is one version of the story. There's also the version of the story of, an amazing mom would go and honor her daughter's wishes by hanging back.
Right.
I let her have her day, but I also wanted to see it.
Yes.
And that was painful for me.
Yeah.
And hard for me, but I love her enough to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Knowing that she was probably going to be mad and that I was not going to get what I wanted and stuff like, but I did it anyway, knowing that I don't get my dream.
That's what I did. Yeah, exactly, Corinne. Yeah.
And that's the story I kind of want you to kind of step into, because the thought, I can't be happy, it's almost like you're punishing yourself.
Yeah, I am. I am. I feel like I'm just, okay, I'm just going to sit and suffer and eat over it until they come back. No, I can't do that anymore. No. I can't. I've been doing that for a year.
You can love them. You can miss them. The one thing they can't do, as mad as they may be or whatever is going on with them, they can't stop you from loving them.
Right. Yeah. Right.
They can stop talking to you.
Yeah.
They can stop some stuff, but they can never stop a mother's love.
Yeah.
You get to have all of that.
Yeah.
And you can be happy and sad that y'all aren't talking. You can still enjoy parts of your life and know you're going to wish and want them back. Like, you can, like, right now you've given yourself like just one, like, you can't be happy without your daughters. Instead of,
right,
I can be happy at times, I can be sad at times.
Right.
Like, I can have a lot of emotions.
Right.
And I also can be compassionate with myself, understanding. When my brain wants to tell me why all this is happening, the one part I have control over is making sure it's a damn good story for me.
Right. Creating the story I want to have, thinking ahead.
We have, so have you done the relationships course lately?
I think not recently.
Okay. Why don't you redo that? This will be really good for you to do. And you can take a lot of your work to ask coaches. Do the relationships course on your daughters, knowing you're not talking.
Right.
You're going to need to define the relationship you want with them, knowing there's no contact.
Uh-huh.
So the way that I teach relationships, which is beneficial for everyone, is a relationship has nothing to do with like the words we say. It has nothing to do with the actions, the proximity, and how often we talk. A relationship is two humans' thoughts about each other.
Right. Yeah.
That is it. So when you're in relationship with your daughters, you feel everything that you think about them. Whatever they're doing or not doing, it's your thoughts about that, and that creates the relationship. Same with your daughters.
Right. Yeah.
So when you take that, I want you to really think about, I have a really strong relationship with my daughters in my mind. And that is for me to create and keep, and honestly, keep it lovely so that if things change, you're ready for it.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. I love the idea of sort of looking into the future and the story that I'm creating with the hope that we will have not a relationship, but we will be talking again, because I already have a relationship with them. Yes.
Yeah.
And then the piece about the food, Corinne, it's like, okay, enough of excusing it. I know it's a big, huge thing going on in my life, but I need to stop eating over it, right? So,
right, but the eating is just what you're doing in reaction to all these thoughts you're having.
Exactly. That's right.
When we clean up, this is why we do so much root cause work here in No BS. We don't have to work on the eating. You don't need any strategies. You don't need anything over there. Right now, what we got to do in order for the eating to go down and be easy to say no to urges, is we have to take down what's causing the urges to begin with.
Yes.
And it's the painful thoughts about your daughter. It's the thought, I can't be happy without my daughters.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can be without my daughters and still love them. Yes, I can be without my daughters and be sad sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is the thought we want to have, because when you're having that thought, we're not driving urges.
Right. Yes, I understand.
And that's what a lot of you want to get coached on, the eating. And that's why we always kind of get down into the, like, well, what's causing the eating? Because when we attack that and we rewire that, then the brain doesn't have to ask for protection. Because all the brain right now is like, well, if you can't be happy without your daughters, then I need to do something to not make you as miserable, number one. I'm just going to try to protect you. Because you're determined to be miserable. And, you know, the human brain doesn't like misery. It likes pleasure.
Yeah.
That's what it gravitates towards. Then the other thing that it does is it says, like, well, okay, well, if you can't be happy without them, I should probably make you gain weight because then you'll be really unhappy. Like, let's just ruin everything.
I know, exactly. And it's been happening for a year.
Yeah. And it's doing like what I was talking to the other person. It's trying to create the reality you're allowing it to believe.
Right. Wow. Yeah, it's exactly right. That's how it is. And I'm just trying to get out of that. But I know I've been working on the root cause, but there's still something there, right? That's stuck or something. So that's why
it's just this one thought. You literally already have it.
Yes, I do. Yeah, it's been a week.
Right. It's like every time you want to say, I can't be happy without my daughters, and just say like, no, the truth is, I can take care of myself without my daughters.
Yeah.
I can be in relationship with them, whether they want me to or not.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot stop a mother's love. I don't care if they don't talk to me. I don't care if they side with their dad. I don't care if they don't want me at things. They can never stop me from loving them. And love is happiness. I can miss my daughters.
Yes.
Like, I want you to like think like there are so many other thoughts to have other than I just can't be happy without them. And that doesn't mean you're going to be happy all the time. It just means you're going to be more honest and you're going to allow yourself to have some happiness. It's like, well, you know, it's like I'm harming no one when I'm happy. I'm not happy that they're not here.
Yeah.
But I also, like, I will tell you too, that day, if the day comes that y'all figure things out, the last thing you want is to be showing up with years of resentment because they didn't speak to you because you spent all of them unhappy, because it will be real easy then to want to blame them for your unhappiness.
Right.
And that will further estrange your relationship.
Yes,
and it's like you be like thinking, I am preparing myself for the day that things work out.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Corinne.
You're welcome. And I'll be thinking about you. I know this is tough. It was tough on me on my side. It was tough on my mother. Like, it's not a fun boat to be in. I mean, even though I was the one, I will just tell you from a daughter's perspective, I was the one that like cut off all, like kind of like your daughters. I cut all of it off and I wouldn't speak to her. I was not happy the entire time.
Yeah, right.
Like, I thought that cutting her out was going to be the best thing for me.
The easiest thing. Yeah.
And although it gave me space to kind of think about our relationship, I also thought about our relationship all the time. Like, you know, I think that at their age, I was older than that. I was in my early 30s, mid 30s.
Right.
But I just feel like I don't know. I don't feel like I even got my shit together until I was 40. When I hit 40, somehow, like Chris and I were talking about it the other day. I was like, how am I going to top my 40s? And he said, you had an amazing 40s. He was like, when we look back at your 40s, he said, holy shit, you grew, like so much of my life came together in my 40s. And he said, rather than like, I was looking at it like, well, what am I going to do in my 50s? How am I going to top that? And he said, oh no, you've got 10 years of evidence that you can do some fucking amazing things. Maybe you just bring that energy into your 50s. I was like, thank you, life coach Chris.
But I have an amazing partner and I'm so grateful for that.
Well, then exactly. So I can be like, I can be sad about my daughters, but grateful I have a great partner. Like, yes. There are so many other thoughts you can be having other than this one. But the reason why I tell you that is I want you to live in some hope. Your daughters are young and they're still at that age where they think they got their life probably figured out, and they ain't got their life figured out.
I know.
And they're moving farther one day.
Yeah. I'm in Canada and they're moving to California with their dad. So it's quite a distance. So that's been hard thinking about. But yeah, I got to change my thoughts and start adding and leveling up on my thoughts, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, good luck, Mama.
Thank you so much. Bye.
All right. Bye. All right. Corinne, talk about how you built love thoughts for your mom. That's interesting. Well, honestly, when I wrote the relationships course, and we did that, that was an event. Is that like 3 or 4 years ago now? Oh my gosh, y'all. Time flies. Time flies when you're having fun. I wrote that relationships course based on a lot of the experience that I did have. And it was, the first thing I had to do was I had to go back. I was always so mad at my mom for so many things. I had a lot of resentment with my mom. And then when I cut her off, it was like the apex of just shitty thinking for years. I had always felt like when I was a kid that she didn't take care of me. I felt like I had to be grown up too soon. When I was in my high school years, I was like, when I really look back at the 4 years in high school, my depression started really early. When I first started high school, I had ulcers and an irritable bowel. Like, I shit my pants the first day of band camp. I was a big girl. Like, I just lived under this constant pressure, constant stress. And by the time I was 16, they put me on Prozac because I was already just, showing signs of depression. And then, of course, I attempted suicide right before I turned 18. And I just felt like, I remember thinking she should have been there. Like, she should have known. Like, I spent like my entire 20s in resentment and second guessing her and thinking my parents failed me and just kind of like subtly angry, like a lot of unresolved anger. And then in my 30s, once I had Logan, she was there for me, but she had a lot of opinions. And my mom is one of those people who, she has a lot of fears, anxieties, and worries, and she just vomits them. Like, my mom, she will be the first one to tell you. Mammy is the worry train. I mean, we just tease all the time about, like, if anybody feels like something needs to be worried about and you ain't got the energy, just go call Mammy. She'll do it for you. And so I was kind of in the throes. I was in therapy at the time. I was in the throes of Logan's autism. I was having problems with him. And she just said something one day about him, and it struck me wrong. And I just told her, I never want to talk to you again. And I hung up the phone and I didn't talk to her for over a year. And my brother finally was the one that brokered between us. He just said, like, look, you two need to figure your shit out. And when I came back, she was mad at me. She was very mad about that year. And so when I went to the life coach school, this is like a few years later, I was never over it, but I wasn't wanting to cut her out anymore. But I was at a point where I could tolerate her. I could talk to her and stuff. Well, when I went to the life coach school and I really started getting into coaching, I did a lot of just writing down everything I thought and allowed myself to get that out of the way. And then I put myself in her shoes and I started going back to what she must have been thinking, like, even when I was in high school. She was working around the clock. When I really took an objective look at things, I could just see where so much of what I was thinking was all formed in a very limited young child's mind. I didn't have the reasoning skills. I didn't have the logic, you know, from 9 until even in my 20s to have perspective. And so I had formed a lot of stories over those years and then carried them into my 30s as if they were just the truth. And so I really had to look at that stuff and rewrite it. And I told myself, it's like, this is not diminishing how you felt all those years. This does not take away your pain, but we need to understand what was also going on for your mom. Because without it, I was never going to be able to really love her. I was just going to be able to just love her because she was my parent. But I wanted to like love my mother because she's an amazing woman. So that was like the first thing, was I just had to retell the story from her point of view. What was her painful point of view? She grew up with an alcoholic father. My grandmother, who I adored, couldn't tolerate it anymore. And my mom didn't want to move to Nashville with her. So in her mind, she was left with my alcoholic grandfather the year that she got pregnant with me. Like, there was so much trauma in our family. And it really, it allowed me to kind of let go of some of my story and be like, yeah, you were hurt, but we understand why. You couldn't understand everything going on around you. And it was impossible for a teenager and our 20-year-old to even see from your mother's perspective. But in my 30s and early 40s, I didn't want to live in that pain anymore. And there was only one person who was going to take me out of pain, and that was going to be me. So a lot of it was getting her perspective, rewriting the past. We have Rewriting the Past in the membership for y'all. If you can't find it, ask and ask coaches. They'll link you to it. I did a lot of rewriting my past. And then just deciding how I wanted to think about my mom. And what does forgiveness look like? And all the things that I teach you in the relationships course. So I just think it's important because most of us do not want to spend our life in blame, regret, resentment. And we also, they have a hard time forgiving. And I just had to decide, I want a better relationship. And I want to not feel as bad as I do. So I need to figure out a way to stop the resentment. And the only way to stop the resentment is to rewrite the past so that there's nothing to resent anymore. I want to stop blaming. So the only way to not blame someone is to take responsibility for your part. My part in my 30s was I had not gone back and figured out why the child was so hurt, me. Like, that was my job, to kind of do all of that stuff. And so like I had to think through those things for my own sake. And Andrea wants the link to the relationships course. So if y'all will go to the menu inside of No BS where the courses are and there's pathways, if y'all will explore in there, we have a lot of courses. We have Trusting Your Body. We have Taking Big Ass Action, Relationships, Self-Love, Ending Self-Sabotage, Conquering the Scale, Handling the Holidays. There's more. Basics 2.0. There's a ton of courses in there that I think y'all forget that do address a lot of what y'all are working on. And I would highly recommend doing those courses. Like, No BS, I want you to lose weight, but I do not want you losing weight strictly by just making yourself not eat, by just saying no to urges. I want you to lose weight because you've gotten to the root of why the urges are coming and you're solving that. I want this, when I say lose it for life, it's not because we eat to enough and all foods are okay. When we say lose it for life, it's because we're going beneath the surface and we're looking for the root cause reasons of why we got here to begin with. And when we start attacking and solving those things, the basics become the fabric of your life. They become automatic and easy. But the only way to have a great life is to attack these things that we're eating over. Okay. Yeah. And Lizzie just posted, it's nobiuswomen.com/course-study-pathways. If you go there, and we have the link in the chat, you will find all the courses that we have that are here to help you with the root cause of your overeating. Y'all have a good one. I will see y'all in, again, I am off Wednesday and I'm off Sunday celebrating the 50s. They're coming fast and furious. And then I'll be back the following Wednesday with my normal fire and brimstone. You will have Coach MJ in her capable hands while I'm gone. Bye, y'all.